about that rule. Not allowed to touch butts until you graduate from school.
Welcome to the Classy Ring Attire Podcast. I'm Joel.
And I'm Chris.
And it's time to get classy.
It's time to get jolly.
Jolly?
Because it's the Christmas episode.
It's our Christmas episode of Classy Ring Attire.
I wish I had Christmas sound effects. Put that in post.
Just imagine bells a-jangling. So this is our special Christmas episode, which we had to record in time for you know, Christmas and family stuff. So, just FYI at the top of the show here, this is not going to be our standard kind of Classy Ring Attire episode.
Yeah.
Namely because nobody's seen Raw this week.
No, haven't watched it. Had to work.
It is a mystery to us. Sting could have come back for
it
all.
Could have.
I have no idea.
All I know is that Hulk Hogan was coming back as Santa.
Hulk Hogan scheduled to come back as Ho Ho Hogan.
Oh, I'm sorry. Ho Ho Hogan.
Yes, come on.
Sorry, I didn't say his name. I got a speech impediment.
So, but we got you know, the Christmas festivities, the year and roundup kind of festivities.
Yeah.
So, if this is kind of you listen to it, like, this is terrible, give us a chance next week, you know.
Yeah. Or, you know, go back and listen to our other quality podcasts.
The 150 previous episodes.
That are all available to you on iTunes.
No, not all of them. Like, the past 11 are available on iTunes.
Or you go to our blog spot where all 150 are hopefully still there.
So, first of all, you want to do the yearly tradition of Christmas presents?
Absolutely.
We'll do the, before we get into, like, who won the predictions at each other's throats.
So, yeah, while we're still,
let's start
friends.
This all cordial and jolly.
Okay, so, Joel, this is yours.
All right.
It's about a brick-sized,
It feels crunchy and squishy.
Okay.
You were making fun of me about doing an unboxing before we started recording.
Fair enough.
And here it is. All right. It's a cloth. Holy cow. That Mickey.
Keep going.
Oh my goodness. I did not know this existed.
It's the Mick Foley Club
it
t-shirt.
It is Mick, M-I-C-K, like Mick Foley Club, but with Mickey Mouse. For Mick Foley.
With missing half an ear and he has a beard and wearing flannel.
I am not sure I've ever seen anything that's more perfect for me.
Exactly, because you love everything Disney.
Because the podcast that's not a wrestling podcast that I do
is a Disney podcast. So, bam, it fits both podcasts.
It's perfect. Oh, that's wonderful. I love it and I adore it. That's
why I saw that there was no other...
There's no other choice.
And I was
perfect.
Really, like, I was confused. I didn't know if you had this, because I could never, like, pinpoint exactly what shirts you have and don't have. Because you have so many of them.
I do have some shirts.
And let me just say, and I know this is off topic, and I've said this off air, but your sweater you're wearing right now is amazing.
It is. there's a lot of, like, visual discussion in this podcast.
It's a traditional Christmas sweater, but in the style of the best Christmas movie of all time, Die Hard.
Yes.
Yes.
So, I love it. It's wonderful. It's my Christmas
since
Christmas
we're on the whole. All right, I got a Trader Joe's bag.
Yes.
So, it better not be no rabbit food.
You don't know.
I want meat.
There's not meat in there.
That is tissue, and that is... Holy crap, what is this? It is a stone cold... What is this, a bear?
It's a gorilla.
It's a gorilla.
Do you not remember those things?
No, I do not.
The Cuddletown Friends?
The Cuddletown Friends?
It was this, like, stuffed animal line that partnered with WWF at one point.
Oh, man. Oh. Oh, dear God, this is awesome in so many ways. Why did they do this? But this is incredibly vintage. I love it.
It is. It is.
It's got a stone cold, like, 316 across his forehead shirt on him. For some reason. Because WWF, right?
Yep.
And what is this? Oh, it's another thing. I got two gifts.
You did.
My God, I'm spoiled and I feel guilty. What? Oh, that's a good wrapping paper sound.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, it's a calendar. Superstars calendar for 2015. Yeah. Does CM Punk on it? That would be awkward. Nope.
No. Del Rio is.
Del Rio is.
Front and
That's
center.
Even more awkward. in May. Because Cinco de Mayo, it's a thing.
No, that's the thing. You can go through this whole thing. Sheamus is in March. Kane is in October, because of course.
Right.
So.
I don't know what Kofi.
That'd be July.
Okay, sure.
Really, these three are the ones that...
You're like, yeah, there's so many of them in those three.
Three, that's, you know, four.
I don't know what would that be. What would Rey Mysterio
that's
be?
That's December.
Yeah, I don't get it.
I don't know.
But three Kings Day? I don't know.
Sure. 619 Day?
Oh, that's awesome. And I get Ziggler's in January, I'm guessing. Yes.
Yes.
Yeah, Big Show's my birthday month. That's unfortunate.
I'm sorry.
But the rest of it's awesome and slightly racist. I love it. You know what I like. Things that are slightly racist. And gorillas.
Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas, Joel.
All right.
So now all that, you know, lovey-dovey stuff is out of the way.
Do you wanna know?
All right. I want to know what love is.
All right.
I want you to show me.
So, for the past year...
Okay.
For those who have been following... we have been
actually keeping record of what we predict.
Because we predict the card of each thing, of each pay-per-view.
Each pay-per-view, yes.
And now we didn't, you know, it's not a complete list because a lot of times there's, like, matches that aren't announced at recording time. And I think we did, in fact, miss one pay-per-view this year. But we did predict a total of 72 matches this year.
Okay.
That were predicted.
Okay, and I think the only, like, full pay-per-view that we missed was Hell in a Cell, right?
No, we got the Hell in a Cell recording. When Beardsley was on. Beardsley was right before one of them. And so it was one I missed, so we didn't do it.
Okay.
So it's the only one that we missed, though. Mm-hmm. So we'll do better next year. We apologize.
Well, there's some situations beyond our control.
Yes,
for that, so
absolutely. But in total, we made predictions for 72 matches.
Okay.
Chris, do you want to guess how many you got right out of 72 matches?
I will say 60.
No.
Too high?
Way too high.
40.
A little higher than that.
Okay, so over half, that's good.
You did get over half. We got over half of them correct.
47.
46.
46, okay.
46.
All right, I feel good about that. That's a good number. 46 out of 72. I don't have a calculator in front of me, and I don't like math, so don't know what that percentage is.
It feels acceptable, right?
Yeah.
All right. Well, good for you, and congratulations.
Oh, you said mine first.
I got 47.
Do we tie?
No, you got 46.
Oh, 46?
I got 47.
Oh, my. It came down to one match.
A year build-up.
It came down to one match.
It did.
What kind of bullcrap is that?
It did.
Oh.
So when you go back and think about all the, like, all the times you went out on a dream, you know, you're like, oh, I'm going to vote with my heart this time.
I hate this show.
Any one of those.
I hate this podcast.
Any one of those, you could have switched.
And I hate all of you for listening to this.
So.
And I hate you for telling me that I lost. I hate you that you predicted that you won.
So I also I wanted to mention a couple of things, because one of the tragedy things that happened this year was my computer crashed, like, midway, so I had to go back and, like, listen to all of our podcasts.
Yes, Joel. That is the worst tragedy that has happened to any one of us this year.
That is not true. I feel like that is not true.
Is it really a tragedy? I feel like you're the use of the word tragedy one of the problem is.
One of the crazy random happenstances.
That's better.
Here's the thing. I was not planning, when I said we were going to do this,
yeah.
I was going to write them down as it happened and left it on. That didn't happen, so I had to go back and listen to a lot of them. Mm. So, but that means we also made several bold predictions where we could just, like,
oh, you have some more bold predictions?
So I have some bold predictions okay. that we made that it's interesting
that's
to look
gonna
at.
That's going to make
now.
Us both feel stupid?
Well, here's the thing. The first bold prediction of the year was Chris thought Roman Reigns was going to break the Royal Rumble record.
Yeah, exactly.
Which is, fair, wizard status prediction.
Yes, absolutely.
That was amazing. So, you know, congratulations on that. Even though you did not, you know, win the year round, that's still a pretty nice consolation.
I feel like that, like, should give me, like, plus five matches.
Would you like to know who you predicted to win the Royal Rumble?
It was CM Punk.
Yes.
Yeah, I remember that.
To be fair, we both predicted CM Punk in every match he was in this year to win.
All one of them.
All one of them.
Right.
Yes, we did. Also, Chris predicted that Bray Wyatt would be the first Wyatt family member to have a title.
Yeah, that was wrong.
Which was wrong.
The two guys were tag team champs.
Yes. Joel predicted that Roman Reigns will be champion before SummerSlam 2015.
Oh, yeah, because he got hurt right before SummerSlam. Mm-hmm. So even if he wasn't hurt, you would have gotten that wrong.
So, well, I still had till next SummerSlam.
Oh, okay.
I predicted that before SummerSlam 2015.
Oh, okay.
He would, so...
Your part. Okay. Yes. Yeah, you're right. Close, you're getting there.
Yes, Chris has also predicted that Seth will be champion before Roman.
Yeah.
So, and I'm
the funny thing is, he was still the Money in the Bank holder whenever I predicted that.
Yep.
I still feel like it's a possibility.
So that's the thing, is like we could still, either one of us could go, right. You know, could get that one. We both predicted that when Ascension debuts, one of the commentators will say Ascension has ascended to Raw.
Still has yet to be seen.
Has yet to be seen. Joel predicted it would be Cole. Chris predicted it would be Lawler.
But none of us predicted JBL.
Nobody's predicted JBL.
He's a wild card. You never know what he's going to say.
He could come in there. Chris predicted that Rusev would remain undefeated till Mania. So far, so good. Yes. And looking like it. So, I think you might have that one. You also predicted how Rusev is going to lose to Swagger at Mania.
No, that's not happening. What in the hell was I thinking?
It could come around. Like he was the first one, and we're kind of in the middle period between...
Where he lost again.
Yeah.
And then, like, the fourth time.
Well, he had a little feud where he lost, and then some other feuds. Then he had a second little feud where he lost, and so maybe in his third little feud around Mania, he'll come back and win the big one.
Unless he has Rocky montages, I don't see it happening.
But that prediction still remains to be confirmed or denied. The final prediction that you made was that Larry the Cable Guy is going to get bunny humped.
Oh, man.
Which was
a
reasonable prediction, I will say.
So close.
Yeah, fair's fair.
So close.
A reasonable prediction, but it didn't come true, which I'm quite okay with.
Okay.
Finally, the interesting thing here is that Chris, you actually we either tied or you beat me on every individual pay-per-view prediction except for Battleground.
So it was because of Battleground.
You were so wrong on Battleground.
So that's where I went wrong.
Yes. Battleground was the one where we had the most differences, and I got every single difference right and you got every single difference wrong.
What a crap pay-per-view.
So that was
for you to hang your hat on.
I'm just saying it's an interesting
point. Hope you're proud of yourself.
I'm just saying it's an interesting point that that you on every single pay-per-view we either tied or you got more right than me.
I don't even remember what happened on that pay-per-view.
Except you were completely wrong on Battleground.
Like, I literally cannot think of a single match that happened on Battleground.
No, I don't remember either.
Oh, man. Oh, wow. I kind of feel bad going into the classies next week. And I can't even remember what happened on one of the pay-per-views.
One of the theoretically 12 most important nights of the year. I don't remember it.
Yeah, I'm going to have to watch a lot of pay-per-views this week.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because our classies...
It's not that good as anything important happening this week, like Christmas or anything. Come on.
Speaking of the classies...
Yes, yes.
You
got them on yours?
Yes. Okay. For those who are in the know, the classies, the most prestigious, you know, wrestling award.
Award show, period. Exactly. Let's be honest. We don't have any trophies, but that's how classy we are. That's how great these awards are. They can't be put into physical form.
I mean, we also have classies for the worst thing of the year.
Okay. It's a legit award.
Yes.
And really, they shouldn't get a trophy for that. So the fact that we don't have trophies, it fits perfectly for that category.
Fair enough.
Okay, so
for those who want to play along at home, we'll tell you the categories this week. You can think about it, have your own picks next week.
And you can send those to our Twitter, you can send it to our email.
Yeah.
All that stuff that we usually cover in the plugs.
And it'll happen at the plugs in the end of the show. But just so you guys know, the classes are the best... And the worst face or heel turn of the year.
Okay.
The Mark Henry Memorial Award.
Now that is
That is something that should have kind of been dumb, you're dreading, not looking forward to, that ended up really working, really clicking, and being right. kind of cool.
Might need to rename that, because Mark Henry is definitely not cool anymore.
And that's why it's the Mark Henry Memorial Award.
Good call. Good call.
Next up is the Sankara Award, which is the exact opposite. It's something that should have been dumb and terrible and awful and ended up clicking and working.
No.
Completely the other way around.
Other way around. So something that was supposed to be awesome.
You're really excited about.
Ended up being awful and the worst thing ever.
Yes. Yes, and just didn't work and you're kind of disappointed in that.
Those playing at home probably have a good idea of what exactly that would be, because I know what it is.
I know what mine is.
Yep.
We have the most improved of the year.
Okay.
We have the biggest downfall of the year.
Okay.
We're going to have the Diva of the Year, Storyline of the Year, the Spot of the Year, Pay-Per-View of the Year, Video Package of the Year, Match of the Year, and Superstar of the Year.
Okay.
So, the basics, you know, also. And we'll count down to Superstar of the Year, just like the Oscars, where they, you know,
save
the big award for last.
Right, yeah, you gotta save Best Picture for last.
Exactly. So,
like the Slammys.
Yeah, so.
They copied us.
Of course. lots of things to think about, to mull over, to rewatch, kind of really submit your picks.
Yeah.
And so,
And if anyone has any, like, strong, like, convictions on the best package of the year, please send those to me, because I have no idea.
That's the thing, is we made best package of the year. For the Miz one?
For the Miz one, yeah.
And you're kind of like,
And so now this year, when there really wasn't, well, nope. Take it back, I just had an idea.
You know which one?
I'm good.
All right.
Obvious now that I think about it.
All right, I still have to scratch my head about that one. Those are the classies. We'll be back next week with the official Classy Awards being presented.
Right.
So, because it's, you know, Christmas time, just kind of a riffing podcast. One of the things I do want to discuss real quick, Hulk Hogan was on Raw this week.
Yep.
Something that, you know.
Don't know what he did, but...
It brought to light again that Hogan has talked about wanting to have one more match.
Mm-hmm. And he said that he's training as if he's got one more match in him.
And honestly, you know, first of all, are you okay with Hogan having one more match?
I'm assuming it would take place, if he did it, it would be at a WrestleMania.
Yeah. And the thing
is, it probably would be in the middle of the card, if not the beginning.
Yes.
You know?
I don't think it would in anything. It's the kind of thing where, like, he mentioned, he's like, my last wrestling match wasn't with WWE, and I want to end my career with this company.
Right.
And I understand that, and I get that, and so it's kind of like, you know, okay. Mm-hmm. So, the question is, how would you handle Hulk Hogan, you know, fairly old guy, having one more match that hopefully, you know, will not be an embarrassment to anybody who's in the match, will not, you know, be squandered. What can you do with Hulk Hogan in ring?
Yeah.
Like, you know, the thing to do with Hulk Hogan right now is have him come out and say, I believe in Daniel Bryan.
Right.
So that we'll get that, you know, Hulkamaniac juice on
that rocket ship, yeah.
Yeah. But what is it that you think you would want to do with Hulk Hogan?
Well, you know, clearly you would want to put him with somebody that would be able to carry the match, because you won't want to depend on him for, you know, solely on the match. Because I hear a lot of people saying the same thing about Undertaker, but I don't feel like that's going to be that big of a deal. Because we have that same discussion every year with Undertaker. It's, oh, is he healthy? Can he do this? Can he do that? And then he shows up and he can do it.
Mm-hmm.
So, until I see him retire, I'm not going to believe that. But, like, that definitely rings true, I think, for Hulk. You know, glad that he's training. I'm glad that he's, you know, getting healthy. And, you know, if he feels like he can do it, then, you know, I guess I'll believe the guy. I don't know how exactly you would want to do it, because if you put him with a part-timer, you're running the risk of having him against somebody that can't carry him.
Yeah.
You know? But do you really want to feed a young guy to him?
Mm-hmm.
I honestly, probably a good thing, maybe, would be, I don't know, it would give Randy Orton something to do, maybe. But okay. If Randy Orton came back to heel with, from all, you know, indications are that it's not going to be that way, he's going to come back as a face.
Yeah.
You know, go tap back into the whole Legend Killer thing again.
Would you have Hogan win or lose?
Yeah, that Hogan win.
Okay. Going out on a win?
And again, it depends on who. If he comes out to just be like, oh, you're not, you know, being a good guy, and I'm going to come out and squash you in, like, less than a minute, you know? If it's something like that, then, yeah, and put him up against some random heel jobber or something like that. But, I don't know if it's somebody higher up on the.
I mean, that's the thing. It's like Hogan. You know, Hogan versus Heath Slater match isn't that much better than Hogan's last match being in TNA.
No.
You know, I feel like the whole reason that I'm entertaining, like, okay, Hogan gets one more match, is to, you know, one of the most important guys in the history of the business, let him go out with some kind of moment.
Yeah.
And so. A couple of things that I considered. The first thing I considered was letting him break the Rusev streak.
Yeah.
Which, you know, the kind of thing where, like, in kayfabe, Hogan still superpowers.
Right.
You know, you ignore age in kayfabe, and just, you know, the longer they're there, the more powerful they are. And so, you know, I was like, the streak could get broken by Hogan. You know, okay, you lost to Hogan. That's, you know, that's fine. You're still a monster.
Yeah.
Keep going. Also, Hogan's the real American, so you can that in there as well.
And technically, Jack Swagger is a real American.
Fine.
I don't know if he's the real American.
But Hogan's pretty American.
Right.
The other thing that I would do with it, if you don't want to do Rusev, would be Big Show. Would be Big Show if he can redo the Andre lift. If he can do it. If he can do it safely.
If he can do it safely, yeah.
If he can do it safely, Big Show can be a heel for that match, because Big Show
is a heel.
Is that one?
Like, is a heel right now, and he could.
Big Show could turn face and heel again, and it would not
feel. And he probably will.
It would not feel rushed at that point, because it's Big Show. But. You do shades of the Andre match, of WrestleMania 3.
Yeah.
You kind of follow that match as beat for beat, close as possible. And you end with Hogan, you know, slamming Big Show to the ground.
Yeah.
That's the kind of final oopfa that I think that's how I would end Hogan's career. His in-ring career is kind of one of those two moments.
Okay. I mean, yeah, I like that. I like that a lot. A lot more creative than mine.
Yeah.
I'm just like, whatever.
Go me.
Go you. You actually thought about it.
I did. Good for me.
I didn't spend all that much time.
All right. You want to play some cards?
Let's play some cards, you guys. All right. All right. Oh, Modern Era.
I'm going to pick that Modern Era first. We'll do a couple of each.
Okay.
So I have this game. It's a board game. Trivia Mania game. For those who want to go on Amazon and find this. It's Wrestling Trivia Pursuit. And
basically,
so
yes.
We're not going to actually play that with the board and stuff.
But we got cards. We got questions. Got
cards, and apparently I only have advanced directly to WrestleMania cards. So,
well,
I need actual question cards.
Maybe you were meant to advance directly to WrestleMania and not collect $200.
All right. What do we do?
It's got three categories for big events, championships, and superstar bio.
All right.
So there's no, like, hardness or whatever. Okay. These are easy. For me, I guess.
Yeah.
Do you want to go first?
You go ahead, go.
All right. The 2011 Royal Rumble was billed as the biggest Royal Rumble in history. How many participants were in the Rumble match that year?
40.
And for additional points that aren't on this card, who won that?
Was that Del Rio?
It was.
Look at me. 2 points. 2-0.
Yay.
Big events. Who forced Triple H to tap out in the main event of Summer 2012?
Summer of 2012?
Yes, SummerSlam. SummerSlam 2012.
He fought somebody in 2012?
Triple H, SummerSlam 2012, yes. Oh, you're going to feel bad when you don't get this one.
Oh, that was Brock Brock.
Yeah.
Bork. Bork Lazar.
Yes.
All right. Fair enough.
Do I have to ask a second question because you made up a question?
No. If you feel led to.
All right, 2-1. I'm winning. You, my turn.
All right. Who did John Cena defeat at WrestleMania 21 to win his first ever WWE Championship? WrestleMania 21. I think that was at Hollywood.
I believe. Was that JBL?
It was JBL.
Yeah, all right. Because I think he beat Big Show for the USA Championship.
That was at WrestleMania 20. Yeah.
Okay, all right.
I hate myself for that. For nothing.
That's the thing. I was sitting there. I was like,
That's probably going to be a question here somewhere.
Yes. What runner-up in 2004's $1 million Tough Enough Season 4 went on to win the WWE Championship in 2010?
The Miz.
The Miz.
Clearly. Along the same line, what superstar served as The Miz's apprentice and then VP of corporate communication during Miz's 2010-2011 WWE Championship reign?
Be Alex Riley?
It would be Alex Riley.
Is he VP of corporate communication?
I guess. I think that's how they explain Alex Riley following Miz around with a briefcase.
Okay.
After Miz had already cashed in.
Okay.
Yeah.
Alright. What original member of the Nexus was kicked out of the group only to rejoin the WWE team that faced Nexus at SummerSlam 2010?
Really?
That's
Babytown Frolics?
Yeah, that is
yeah,
not...
Yeah, put that back. It was Daniel Bryan.
That was Daniel Bryan. Let's get you a real question, buddy.
Okay.
Who shocked the world by coming out of the audience during an April 2007 Raw episode in Milan and winning the Intercontinental Championship?
It was the debut of Santino Marella.
Santino Marella.
None of these are good. I don't like any of these. Golden. That was easy. What 2005 Adam Sandler movie featured appearances by Goldberg, Kevin Nash, Stone Cold Steve Austin, and The Great Khali?
I believe that would be The Longest Yard.
It would be, starring Hollywood's Burt Reynolds.
Who won the Champion of Champions match, pitting the WWE Champion, World Heavyweight Champion, and ECW Champion against each other at Cyber Sunday 2006?
Who won?
Yes, who won?
I don't know, probably John Cena.
I'm sorry, no, that was King Booker.
Oh, excuse me. Oh, first incorrect one.
Yeah. Joel still got a perfect record.
I guess so. Who began his second reign as World Heavyweight Champion by defeating King Booker in a last chance match at Survivor Series 2006?
Wait, read the first part of that again.
Who began his second reign as World Heavyweight Champion by defeating King Booker in a last chance match at Survivor Series 2006.
2006? Second reign. John Cena?
Nope. Batista!
Batista?
Yeah, he's got more than a feeling.
Alright. Oh, wow. Who won the Mask versus Mask match between Sin Cara Azul and Sin Cara Negro on an October episode of SmackDown?
It was Sin Cara Azul.
Sin Cara Azul.
Because the other one, they took his mask off and he became Hunico.
Yes.
And he had a very ugly face. He still does, I guess. I'm assuming he still has that face. What was the name of ECW's dancing trio that featured Kelly, Layla, and Brooke? What were their names?
I'm going to be okay with not knowing this one.
You want to take a stab?
The ECW dancers? I don't know.
Extreme Exposé.
Okay, of course.
You get it? Extreme, you guys. Extreme.
What do the initials of former WWE Superstar MVP stand for?
What did the MVP stand for?
Yeah.
Montel Vontavious Porter.
Montel Vontavious Porter.
I got one more.
All right.
At Capital Punishment 2011, Wade Bewitt, as we like to call him,
yes,
lost the Intercontinental Championship to what former core teammate?
I believe that was Ezekiel Jackson.
Was Ezekiel Jackson.
All right.
Because in the core,
they're all equal.
Apparently, they're all equal.
All right, let's move back a ways.
All right, go into Attitude.
Play the Attitude Era. This has been the modern era, by the way, for those who haven't been paying attention. So.
Yeah, so now you get to make fun of us for all the stuff that we don't know as far as history.
Yeah, I know. This is going to not go well for me.
Ew.
This is when I wasn't allowed to watch.
Yep.
So all this is, you're going to ask me something and I'm going to get it wrong. I'm like, no, Tony told me that on the playground. Tony's a liar. I'm going to look him up on Facebook.
Screw Tony.
Vince McMahon was the controversial winner of the 1999 Royal Rumble. Who did he last eliminate to win the event?
Stone Cold?
Stone Cold.
All right. What former UFC champion refereed the WrestleMania 13 match between Stone Cold Steve Austin and Bret the Hitman Hart? Really? I thought this one was going to be easy.
UFC?
Yeah. Refereed the WrestleMania 13 match.
Who was it?
You're not even going to guess.
Hard Body?
Huh?
Hard Body?
Ken Shamrock.
Was it Ken Shamrock, really?
Yeah, it was Ken Shamrock.
I don't remember that. I should have.
I'm like, you're like, nope. Like, you're like, it's not right.
Hey!
You got really happy all
what is the What WWE superstar is also the lead singer of the band Fozzy?
That question's incorrect because a band makes it seem like they play music, but that's not what I hear when I hear their quote-unquote songs. But Chris Jericho.
Somebody's judgmental.
Yes, because it's horrible music.
All right.
Who defeated Kane at No Mercy 2002 to unify the World Heavyweight and Intercontinental Championships?
Undertaker?
Nope. Triple H.
See, that's the thing. They were unifying multiple championships? Probably Triple H. Beating Kane? Probably Undertaker.
Seriously?
What?
Who was known as the Texas Rattlesnake? Really?
Stone Cold Steve Austin? Really? Some of these are easier than others, clearly. Who beat Booker T for the WCW Championship on a July 2001 SmackDown episode, becoming the first WWE superstar to win that title?
The Rock?
Kurt Angle.
Sure, okay.
Yeah.
Alright, fine. What other Right to Censor member teamed with the Goodfather to win the World Tag Team Championship in November 2000? Former Right to Censor member.
Ron Simmons?
Ron Simmons was not in Right to Censor.
I don't know Right to Censor.
It was Bull Buchanan.
I believe you.
Okay.
Who faced Hulk Hogan in a street fight at WrestleMania XIX? That'd be 19.
Thank you for doing the math for me. Who faced Hulk Hogan in WrestleMania 19?
In a street fight.
Street fight, that would be Vince McMahon.
Mr. McMahon.
Yeah. Okay. It was asking me who won the 2005 Royal Rumble, and I'm like, it's Batista and John Cena. Obviously.
Bacina.
Alright, Kane was forced to unmask in June 2003 after he lost the match to what superstar?
Oh, crap.
Because remember, you know...
I remember the tear and like the burns that disappeared like magic and
yeah. All
that stuff, but I do not know who Triple H...
Yeah, it was.
All right.
Nice shot in the dark.
Which WWE diva would often finish off her competition with her patented chick kick?
Chick kick?
Yes. Chick kick.
I don't know. That sounds like something Trish would do.
Trish Stratus.
There we go. All right. What was the name of the stable of competitors that included Taka Michinoku, Funaki, Dick Togo, and Yamaguchi-san?
Rising Sun?
Wow. No, it was Kai and Tai.
Okay. Sorry.
Awful. Just awful.
Mick Foley's Cactus Jack persona battled what Evolution member for the Intercontinental Championship at Backlash 2004?
Wait, who did he face at Backlash 2004?
Mm-hmm.
That was Randy Orton.
Was 2004 still the Attitude Era?
No, that was more like... Ruthless Aggression or whatever.
It's his attitude. I mean, I guess...
They're playing fast and loose.
If it goes attitude to modern...
These
are easy.
Yeah, I know. Alright, who won the Gimmick Battle Royal at WrestleMania 17?
The Gimmick Battle Royal? Don't know.
The Iron Sheik!
Really?
Yeah.
God.
You don't remember that? They brought back a Brain to do commentary for it.
No, that's been blocked out of my head. I've seen WrestleMania 17. I don't know why. I'm completely blanking on that. Who served as special guest referee when Brock Lesnar and Goldberg clashed at WrestleMania 20?
Stone Cold. All right. This one should be easy for you.
All right.
Anyone who has watched any sort of wrestling in the Attitude Era knows this question. What superstar would bring a mop named Moppy to the ring with him during 2001?
Why on earth should I know that?
I'll give you one hint. He's cross-eyed.
I don't know.
Perry Saturn!
Would you have known that if I'd read you that?
I would have known that, because he brought a damn mop with him to the ring.
Ooh. All right. And then finally, we do have WWE Classic. I guess WWF Classic. Here we go.
All right.
Moving on back in time. I still got Triple H answers here.
he was in there for a long time.
What future world champion defeated Mankind in the finals from the 1997 King of the Ring tournament? Triple H? Would that be Classic?
I guess.
When did Attitude Era start?
Like, end of 97?
I guess. Okay, fine.
What was the name of the tag team formed by Big Boss Man and Akeem?
Police brutality.
For those that heard, Joel's answer was police brutality. No, I'm sorry, it's incorrect. It's the Twin Towers.
How did I get one? How did I make up something better?
Oh, man. Oh, God, this episode is going to the hell in a handbasket.
What future WWE Hall of Famer won the inaugural Royal Rumble in 1988?
Wait, what future Hall of Famer?
Yeah.
I thought you said future champion. I was like, he was not champion. That was Hacksaw Jim Duggan.
Hacksaw Jim Duggan. That's a good question. Good job.
Yes. What Hall of Famer won his first WWE title, the Intercontinental Championship, at the 1992 Royal Rumble?
Say that again?
What Hall of Famer won his first title, which was the Intercontinental Championship, at the 1992 Royal Rumble?
It was a honky tonk, was it?
Nope.
Who was it?
It was Rowdy Roddy Piper.
He did not win a championship before 92.
Yep.
Okay, if you say so. If the card says so. Although most people remember Paul Bearer as The Undertaker's manager, the Dead Man debuted with a different manager named...
I can't remember. The guy with the red face.
Named? Actually, the card in fact says, name him.
Name him.
But it is a boy. The card will give you that.
Oh, thanks. Oh, dear Lord, I'm going to... I keep wanting to say Dulove, but I know that's not him. I'm going to hate myself for passing, but go ahead.
Brother Love.
Brother Love. There, I knew Love was in the name. That's close. That's half.
I feel like I know all of my cards and none of yours.
Well, I'm going to go incredibly mean here. What was the name of the tag team that featured members Rex, King, and Spot that held the World Tag Team Championship in 1981? Rex, King, and Spot.
The Power Brothers. I don't know.
The Moondogs.
Of course, the Moondogs.
You idiot.
See, look, yeah, my next question, which is not the question that's going to count, but is, what superstar ended many matches with his sweet chin music? How are you getting that question, and I'm getting the Moondogs?
Sean Hickenbottom. All right, well, who was the first WWE champion in history, winning the title in April 1963?
Holy crap. It's not Bruno Sammartino.
No, it's not.
No, I'm...
It's not.
Buddy Rogers?
It is Buddy Rogers.
There we go. Golly, that's... what massive superstar did Mankind team up with to challenge for the World Tag Team Championship at WrestleMania 13?
Who did he team up with at WrestleMania 13?
Yes.
What was his name at the time? Chainsaw Charlie?
Vader.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
When did he... I know he teamed up with Chainsaw Charlie. Maybe that was 14?
I don't know. But, okay, so you asked me a question about WrestleMania 13 from the Attitude Era section, and we're looking at using the classic section, and we're still at WrestleMania 13.
All right. Well, here's definitely a classic for you.
Okay.
What former protege did Bruno Sammartino defeat in the 1980 Showdown at Shea event?
1980 Showdown at Shea?
Yep.
Ric Flair?
That's right, Larry Zbysko.
Zbysko, man. Who challenged Hulk Hogan for his WWE Championship in the first ever Saturday Night main event on NBC in May 1985?
Okay, who did he face?
Yeah, who challenged Hogan?
Rowdy Roddy.
Cowboy Bob Orton.
Cowboy, that makes sense, I guess. All right, fair enough. Here, I'll give you an easy one. You'll know this. Who did Andre the Giant defeat in the $15,000 Body Slam Challenge at the first WrestleMania?
Mr. Stud?
Yeah, Mr. John, Big John Stud.
What massive superstar won his match at the first WrestleMania in an impressive 9 seconds?
Oh, yeah, because they really embellished that time, too. Mm-hmm. That was not no 9 seconds.
No, it was like 15, 16, 19 seconds.
I can't remember. I want to say Hercules?
It was King Kong Bundy.
Oh, right. Oh, yeah, that's right. Okay. Okay.
Ooh, yeah.
When former NWA champion Kerry Von Erich joined the WWE in 1990, what state-flavored nickname did he go by? Because he was never known as Kerry Von Erich in the WWE.
What, can you give me what state it was?
You don't know what state the Von Erichs just like ran rampant in?
Sorry.
It was Texas.
What state-flavored?
Mm-hmm.
Yellow Rose?
Close. The Texas Tornado.
Texas Tornado. Of course.
Of course.
This is... I am clearly not up on my territory days. What WWE diva began her career as a manager of Skip and Zip, the Body Donnas?
Sonny.
That was Sonny. Good job, thank sir.
You. Who ended Bob Backlund's 5-plus-year reign as WWE champion in December 1983?
I don't know.
Iron Sheik.
Was it Sheik?
Yeah, it was Iron Sheik.
That was not on a WrestleMania.
I'm sorry.
Well, no, it's like...
I'm sorry, it was like a year before, not like 3-4 months before WrestleMania.
How many men competed in the first Royal Rumble match in January 1988?
20?
20.
Okay. Brutus Beefcake earned his barber nickname when he helped Rowdy Roddy Piper shave whose head at WrestleMania 3? You remember this? Because it was supposed to be, Piper's, like, retirement match.
Mm-hmm. I remember that.
And it was a goofy match.
I know. To be fair, the first thing I thought was George the Animal Steel. Just because I thought hair and WrestleMania 3.
Yeah, no, he doesn't have it on his head, though.
I know.
That's the problem.
And he was in the good match.
Yes, yes, he was.
Golly, who was it?
Just, for a second, I thought you said Golly. I was like, wow, how old is that guy?
Golly G. Willikers.
No, it was Adrian Adonis.
Adrian Adonis. Yeah, I'm going to have to rewatch WrestleMania 3. So, yeah, honestly, like, a lot of this, like, going through the cards and stuff, I'm like, it makes me want to watch The Network.
Yeah.
So I'm like, the what?
So you would know this.
Who did what? No! Alright, against what superstar did Hulk Hogan defend the WWE Championship in the main event of MTV's War to Settle the Score, February 1985?
That was Roddy Piper.
That was Roddy Roddy Piper.
Because they had, a weird, no-call thing at the end.
Of course they did. It's wrestling.
Alright. What North of the Border tag team won the World Tag Team Championship 3 times? Between September 1993 and March 1994.
Heart?
Nope. The Quebecers.
I would have gone Bulldogs after that. They're not even Canadian.
Probably not.
All right. Well, that is just a sampling.
As Joel takes the cards out of my hands.
Well, here's the
clearly
thing.
Clearly to signify that we are done with this crap.
Here's the thing,
We go back to the modern era, and that's the thing. We go back to the modern era. I know all of these.
Well, yeah,
and
you do
too. So
we go to the classics, and that's where we're shaky because you know we're in our 20s.
Yes, and like honestly though, it's I want to kind of get into it more. We've talked about, for me at least,
yeah.
2014 has been a year of really fantastic pay-per-views for the most part, and just poor Raw.
Yeah.
Poorly done Raw, poorly done SmackDown.
It feels like, yeah, like we've said, like it was a very, very high peaks and very low valleys.
Yeah.
You know, there was never like really any like middle ground.
Well,
but the peaks were so high that the middle grounds felt like really low, you know, valleys.
Yeah, and like, well,
if that makes any sense.
See, a lot of people really praised the weeks leading into Summer or Survivor Series this year.
Yeah,
and I was like, oh, Grumpy Cat hosted one of those episodes, you guys.
True.
So if you say so,
we'll believe you. Yeah, I guess.
Yeah, but I don't know. It's. And I get that if you watch a lot of any wrestling, it gets repetitive. You know, the Stone Cold sat there on the network and I was like, a match is this, right. this is the breakdown, basic breakdown
right.
of every wrestling match.
Right.
And so I get that, but I want to take some time. I want to go back, and I think that's part of my New Year's resolution is to actually take some time. I have the network now.
Yeah.
You know? So going into it, I want to take some time. I want to look at the history of wrestling.
Yeah.
I'm really good at, you know, the modern era.
Yeah.
And, you know, I'm...
So basically, you're not going to rest until you could wipe my face just completely in that game. Until you can absolutely annihilate me in that game.
Well, it's... That's not the intended goal. That's... If you want that to be, like, the barometer, like, can't beat Chris yet, gotta go back to studying. But, you know, like, it's... There's a lot of things. We had WrestleMania 30 this year.
Right.
It was a monumental moment. But it was a monumental moment because of 29 other WrestleManias. Or rather, you know... 17 of those 29 right. WrestleManias. There's some that were, but it was monumental for a reason.
Yeah.
It's something that I won't say I've been woefully, you know, undereducated in
yeah.
because, you know, you put me up against my mother at Trivia Mania.
Yeah.
And no, I will have gotten all four championships and main evented right. everything on the board while she's still messing around on SmackDown.
Right.
But it's something that I'm interested in. I'm further going. For those who are listening who do want to contribute, you know, what are pointers? What are, you know, those of you who are more of an ex of the Attitude Era or even the you know, classic initial era or the territory days even.
Yeah.
What is it there that is worth watching?
Right. Just point Joel in the right direction.
And that's something where, like, you know, the thing is there are matches, you know, wrestling's a very different style today. Average match today versus an average match in the 80s. It's better, that's worse.
Right.
You know, there's just... And you can argue that's personal preference or whatnot. I think, you know, faster paced, more flippy. You know, it's what my cup of tea is. But there are matches that... I mean, I will stand tall and say Hogan and Andre main event WrestleMania 3.
Mm-hmm.
Story and prestige is almost unrivaled to this day.
Okay.
Very few matches are packed with the emotion of that match.
Right.
And so stuff like that exists there, and I know it exists there, and I want to know more about the history of this, you know, title, the 50 years of that, the wrestling territories. It's a very... I know what happens there, mm-hmm. and I can tell somebody who is not a wrestling person and seem very knowledgeable, but that's kind of what my 2013 or 15 goal.
Wow. A little bit behind there.
I'm a few years behind, but I'm getting around to it.
Fair enough. I commend you for finally getting
it. Yep. That's my wrestling resolution.
Okay. I didn't know we were going to have resolutions. Kind of a week off from that.
You can have another one next week if you don't like the one that you have to make up on the spot here.
I don't know. Not be so hard on, like, new repackaged stuff, I guess.
No, I'm not going to do that.
Yeah, because not New Day absolutely
deserves that. It deserves it, yeah.
I don't know. Maybe not compare NXT to WWE so much, because it really is a different animal. Like, someone was breaking it down, like, you know, the writers for the main shows have, like, what, 5 hours to write for? Or mm-hmm. Even Raw, you got 3 hours and, you know, a whole bunch of other voices contributing or trying to contribute, whereas NXT is 1 hour a week, and it's really just one guy in Triple H.
It is, and honestly, like, one of the best things to happen on NXT this past week, the Vaudevillains came into
William Regal. Of course that would be your one of the best things.
Let me finish my point.
Okay, all right.
They come in, they point out that there was a, you know, the legal man was not pinned in their match, and they wanted a rematch. I'm like, we want this rematch tonight. And William Regal's like, nope, card is full. And I'm like, shocker of shockers, the card is full before the show starts.
Right.
I love it. You know, and then they also have an hour, you know, card to fill rather than a 3 hour card.
Yeah.
But I like that. I like, you know, the kind of like, oh, this is an unexpected thing. We'll have to adjust later on down the road kind of thing. But it helps that it is an hour long.
Yeah. So, right, like, there's not as many competing voices. And again, they don't have as much time to fill. They focus more on matches, and so it's really apples and oranges. I mean, yeah, NXT is the better product right now, and it has been for a while. But, I don't know, sometimes it's probably not fair to compare the two.
Yeah.
Although there's rumors going around of, like, what they're planning to repackage Adrian Neville for whenever he gets brought up.
Called up.
And I'm hoping it's just people just you know, wanting to screw with the online people. Because they're thinking, like, oh yeah, I'll be like a Mighty Mouse thing. Yes, the room. Like, really?
People are spouting everything.
Yeah, like, no. And I put absolutely no weight into that.
No, that's the quote-unquote grain of salt needed there.
Yeah.
But anyway, thanks for sticking with us through.
Yay!
Fun time Christmas.
You made it, all two of you.
it's a fun time.
Yeah, it is.
I hope you played along with the wrestling trivia.
Absolutely.
I hope you did better than us.
Probably.
Do you have anything that's making you happy?
It's Christmas.
It's Christmas.
F you if you don't like Christmas.
Yeah, Christmas, you guys. Go out, listen to some Krispy Kreme. Christmas.
Is that going to be our intro again this year?
Always.
Yeah. All right. Cool. So, I love it.
As always, you can follow us on Twitter at CR Attire. We live tweet all Mondays, do some tweeting on Thursdays, and appropriate Sundays.
Somebody listening to this is going to be like, you guys, Joel is lost and he just told us to go listen to a donut.
You know what I'm talking about.
And if you want to send us questions, comments, stuff you want us to bring up on the show, your classy choices, your winners for all the categories that we talked about earlier, send those all to our email. That's classyringattire@gmail.com.
We are also on iTunes, still the best way to look us up, to follow the podcast. You click subscribe, get podcast rating, get a virtual rating of
5 golden stars.
Have you been saving that since, like, October?
No, but I thought of it 15 minutes ago.
Or write a review. All that kind of stuff really helps out the podcast.
Absolutely. And if you're listening to us on wrestling.insidepulse.com, leave us a comment on there. We'd love to hear from you.
We're also on Facebook. Fun way to keep up with us. Just kind of interaction, that kind of stuff. Until next time, stay classy. And huzzah.
Merry Christmas.
Cracker fudge brownies. Item number 8. Player don't hate. It's probably the best toy in the whole state. An item so hot, it could make the snow melt. It's a brand new John Cena wrestling belt. Now I gotta think about what I want from Grandma.